Good morning, church. After 15 months, year and a half, actually almost year and a half, we're finally back to church this morning. And many people, close to 60 people, came together in person this morning to worship the Lord. And it is an exciting experience. It's just not the same joining the worship through your laptop, computer, or even worse, through your little puny cell phone screen. So I look forward to seeing everybody here at church next Sunday. So please sign up, register before you come, and look at the guidelines. We will try to make this place as safe as we can. If you think that we are overdoing it, great, that's the purpose. We want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable coming back. In the last 4 weeks, a month, beginning of July, we have the John Mission Conference. A lot of us as John that we end listening to missionaries, they're sharing talks. And then for the last 4 weeks, each Sunday, we have a special speaker to speak on the subject of mission, foreign mission. And I'm sure that you have enough talks on mission. And normally, when we talk about mission, we think of the mission conference each year. So we join the mission conference. We give to the mission fund. And I have to say that our brothers and sisters are very faithful in making donation to the mission fund. And I have been told by some executive leaders at the Alliance that our church, you know, has been very generous in supporting the mission funds. So I want to thank the Lord for that. And then we will, when the mission conference is over, then we will wait for next year. What we have learned in the last 4 weeks through the mission conference, that mission should be the focus of our church ministries. And we are all familiar with the commission in the New Testament, but actually mission started in the Old Testament time. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God is talking to Abraham here, because you have obeyed my voice. So this idea of bringing the good news of the Lord to the whole world started way back in the Old Testament time. And it sort of come to a highlight when Jesus commanded us, go and make disciples of all nations, and I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So mission, especially we are the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination, so mission has always been a focus, a centerpiece of our ministries. But are we doing our part? Are we doing the mission enough? And there's a survey in the U.S. find that 51% of the Christians that they surveyed do not really know what this Great Commission is. Praise the Lord. Our church mission statement is unified in Christ for the mission of God. We make it clear. About 6 years ago, the whole church, get together for 2 afternoons, if you still remember. And then we invited our then district superintendent, Mr. Reverend Chen, to be with us, to lead us through 2 afternoons, working together. We all share our ideas, and then we came up, we broke into small groups, divided into small groups, and then we came up with lots of ideas of what our new mission statement should be for VCAC. I still remember we came up with a long list, and then one by one, we end up with this last one. Unified in Christ, because we are a multicultural church. No, we have at least 3 cultures here. At least, actually, it's more than 3. But we want to unify united in Christ. Through Christ, we united to fulfill this mission of God. So I thank the Lord that this is our mission statement, our vision. Sometimes when we have new elders, they wonder, oh, Pastor Norman, now we have some new team here. Let's have a new mission statement, a new beginning. I said, well, let's wait. I said, why? No, we have need to have a new vision. So, well, let's finish this one first. Right? Let's finish let's complete that, fulfill that, this mission statement before we start a new one. I said, what do you mean? Let's fulfill the great commission of Jesus first. Then we will look at another one. And you know, we are a long way from fulfilling that. So don't come and ask me for a new mission statement until we have done, fulfilled this one. When we think of mission, we always think of sending somebody to, well, this one in the older days, to Africa, to some place far away. You know, missionaries, we think of, there's a little poem here. Be a missionary every day. Go and eat whatever comes your way. If it's ants in your corn chip or roaches in your paw, hey, don't let it bug you. Just eat it till you drop so. Be a missionary every day. If it stinks, just eat it anyway. It may be warm and fuzzy, and sometimes it still moves, but you don't need a skillet. Chew until you kill it. Be a missionary today. It is kind of a little bit hilarious, isn't it? Funny, right? But it sort of gives us a conception that, you know, these are the missionaries. And they go to some forest and preach the gospel. But sometimes we still need to do that. Today, there are still many least reached groups. That's what we call, right? They don't have their indigenous churches yet. What is the job of a missionary? I learned this, studied this 30, 40 years ago, and recently I studied Kairos course. It's the same, the definition of a foreign missionary is to go to a least reached group where they have not established their indigenous church. Indigenous church is very important. They haven't established a sustainable indigenous churches yet. So we go there to help them to start indigenous church. Then they will do the evangelism themselves. Right? That's the job of a missionary. And among us, we have Pastor Joseph Lee, Helen. They went to these places, people group, and help them to start their indigenous church, and then they will leave and let them grow the churches. So we still need that. But that is not the only job today. We focus on giving money in our church, which we have done a good job. Praise the Lord for that. And I want to thank everybody for being faithful in offering. We will continue to do that. But very often we just focus on the 230 or 40 of our IW workers. We only focus on the mission fund. It's very important that we need to meet our targets. Yes, we need to do that. And then we rely on the Alliance Women Group faithfully lead us to pray and support the missionaries. We still need that, but there are a mission field is a bigger picture than just what we have been looking at. Sometimes when we focus so much on one small area of life, not just ministry, we miss the bigger picture. And I have a, besides my famous Corolla, we also have a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old Accord Honda. And I drove it to work. I worked downtown, you know, before I came here as a full-time pastor. So I worked downtown. So I've been parking in this parking lot for years. You know, I pay a monthly parking, so I park there every day. So one evening after work, late at night, I was a bit tired. So I walked out of the elevator. So I walked right toward my 20-year-old Accord. And then I noticed that the doors were opened. So I quickly got inside there. The first thing you would check, you know, if you suspect something happens, you open your glove box, right? You put your important documents, sometimes money, variables in there. I open it, it's all empty, right? It's only the paper, the insurance paper that, oh, someone broke into my car. So I panic. So I try to put my key and try to see if I can start the key. Oh, it's been vandalized. I cannot turn the car. I'm in trouble now. Maybe someone stole my wheels. That's the only thing that's valuable in my car, my 19-year-old car. So I got out of the car, walk around, all four wheels are still there. Well, I know that they don't worth anything. Oh, so I just panic. I really worry. So what happened? Oh, how come somebody tried to, what are they trying to steal? So I look at my license plate. Oh, they even swapped my license plate. It's a different license plate. Oh no, it's not my car. My car is right over there, only two spaces away. And I missed that. I really scared now. Oh, I broke into somebody else's car. So I quickly wipe clean the steering wheel, wipe all my fingerprints away. So I quickly ran over to my car, open it, I jump in there and start my car and then just drove away. Now, how could this happen? You may ask. Actually, I've been asking myself, how could this happen? My car is only two spaces away. But I find that when I focus on something, you think that that is your car, and somehow you just do not see anything else around you. And this is a true story. But I'm sure we have all experienced this as well, isn't it? Sometimes when we focus on certain things too much, we miss everything that's around it, all the beautiful things around it, your family members. But you always focus on how nice the other, you know, the pastor from the other church. You miss that actually the pastor in your church, they are not too bad. Right? You always think that other church is better, right? But you miss that there are a lot of very loving people here. And sometimes when we focus that our mission world is to meet our mission target. Pray for these 230 or 40 IW workers, and then we have done our mission work, and then we missed the rest. In the older days, when I was in school, seminary, many decades ago, we talk about gospel is from the west to the rest, right? From the western countries to the rest of the world, where we send missionaries to Asia, to Africa, to everywhere, to the rest of the world, from the west of the world. But in the last few decades, the mission, the theology of mission has changed. Now we talk about from everywhere to everywhere. That is the topic of my sermon this morning. Now mission is not, yes, we still have to send people, as I said, to the least reached group to help them to build indigenous churches. We still need to do that. We will still have our mission targets. We still pray for those IWs. But our mission field is bigger than that. From everywhere to everywhere. God has put a lot of the mission field right next to us. The world has changed. I look at this map, I find it very interesting. I look at this. This shows the religions in the world. And Canada, we are 39% Christians. This was done in 2017. US, 68% Christians. Wow, we are a Christian country, sort of. At least for the US, they can claim that. But look at Africa. Ethiopia, 98% Christians. Wow. Ghana, 89%. Nigeria, 82%. South Africa, 79%. Brazil, 77%. Colombia, 80%, and go on. It's no longer the gospel, the spreading of the gospel. The mission world is no longer from the west to the rest. It's from everywhere to everywhere. Globalization have basically put all the people in the world into one huge, big community. It is the opposite of the Tower of the Babel, that God dispersed the people in different languages, and then they scatter them to the world. But now, through globalization, the world come together. It's in one, you know, in one world now, especially with the technology. In His wisdom and compassion, God has brought the mission field right to our door and affords us the outreach opportunities of a lifetime. When Hudson Taylor, the first missionary to China, it took him 6 months, 6 months to get to China, and then 6 months to come back. Talk about a short-term mission. Today, you know, if it takes six months to go to China and 6 months to come back, that's 1 year. But time has changed. The world becomes all one world, one community. Last week, we have our elders and pastors retreat. We have also set our vision in the coming years, not just months. We are going to make mission the focus, the center ministry of our church. So what we shared last Saturday in our elders pastors retreat, I'm sharing with you this morning. Last week, during the retreat, Elder Rob shared with us, he served at the Lighthouse Ministry, so he goes down to the port and served the seamen, the sailors. So he told me that a few weeks ago, he went down to the port. He visited at least 4 to 5 ships, all in one afternoon. And he talked to the seamen from Philippines. So one ship is full of Filipinos. And then another ship is from Taiwan. And he shared the gospel. He gave out gospel, the New Testament in Chinese, even a Chinese MP3 prayers, you know, probably with the scriptures or the Bible, audio recordings of the Bible, to the Mandarin sailors, the seamen. And then he moved on to another ship that has Burmese seafarers, and from Ukraine. So in one afternoon, he was able to speak to people from 4 or 5 different countries, right? And how much did he spend? Well, it depends on whether he was driving or riding his motorcycle. You know, Elder Rob actually rides a motorcycle. It's really cool. So if he rode his motorcycle down there, it probably cost him 50 cents of gasoline. So in one afternoon, you know, he can share the gospel with people from 4 or 5 countries. And a lot of these are from the 1040 window, we call it, right? The least registered people group. It's so efficient, isn't it? Time has changed. It's from everywhere. Now you can become a missionary to everybody, everywhere to everywhere. And then there's the immigration. Canada is an immigration country. We came here 50 years ago. Certainly this place has changed a lot. There are a lot more immigrants. And the immigrants, the people moving around in the world, has created a great mission opportunity. And when I was studying Kairos last month, we learned of there are 3 kind of evangelism, a mission, E1, E2, and E3. E1 is you evangelize within your own culture, like serving your own cultural group. Now, if you are Chinese, you know, you're reaching the Chinese, that's what most of our ministries here. E3, then you send somebody to go over to India, right, like Pastor Bert was doing. You cause 2 or more cultural barriers. And then there is a E2 category. What's E2? See, today you can reach to people from India right at your doorstep, because there are people who now move from India and live here. Now you don't have to travel to India, right, to reach the people from there. And you don't even have to learn their language, because they all speak English. So E2 is the next most effective. E3 is the most difficult. We still have to do the EV evangelism, but that's very hard. That's why we only have 230 IW workers. But the E2 is the opportunity that way at our doorstep, that we don't even have to leave, get into the airport. We can, a lot of other nations, other least reached groups in our midst, from everywhere to everywhere. A lot of these immigrants are from the 10 to 40 windows. And we also, as a church community, we have the obligation to help these immigrants, refugees. Leviticus 19:34, the stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Bible, the scripture want us to help, you know, all these sojourners, people traveling, new immigrants, refugees. So our church should be a loving community. So that's one ministry that we're going to explore. From the elders and pastors retreat, we're going to explore opportunities that we can do local missions. We still support the foreign mission, but there are local missions, a lot of opportunities way at our doorstep that we have missed because we just focus on one specific areas overseas there. But there are lots of opportunities that we have missed. One of the biggest mission field in our retreat, we came to a conclusion, is the international students. Canada is the top choice from a survey I just read 2 weeks ago from Toronto Star. International students choose Canada as top destination. That's the survey suggests, because probably Canada is not as expensive as some other countries, as a relatively more neutral country, more safe. So there are lots of opportunities for us to reach. I can think of many advantages strategically for us to reach out to international students. Because you don't need to learn how to speak Japanese. If you go to Japan to become a missionary, IW, you need to learn the language. And you need to learn the culture. But a lot of Japanese students, Vietnamese students from India here, and we don't need to learn their language. We're coming here to learn our language, that we have the opportunity to share the gospel. In the last 10 years, I have the opportunity to minister to maybe around 10 Japanese students in English. I've seen three of them came to Christ. You know how difficult it is to lead the Japanese to Christ. But these are Japanese students, international students. I have the privilege and the pressure to see three of them accept Christ. One came to the Mandarin congregation, and he would say, why would a Japanese student, international student, go to a Mandarin congregation? Well, he came here to study Mandarin in UBC, study Chinese. So he decided, well, the best way to learn Chinese is go to a Chinese church. So he came to our Mandarin church congregation, and then he accepted Christ in the Mandarin congregation. Hallelujah! It's so exciting. And he did not get baptized here because he said that he wanted to go back to Japan and get baptized in his a church in Japan so that his family, his parents can witness him. So wonderful, beautiful. He came back, and then we have a celebration for him. And then I had the opportunity to lead two other Japanese students to Christ. And I only met 10 Japanese students in the last few years. And there are so much opportunities. A survey statistic showed that less than half of 1% of the American and Canadian Christians have actually witnessed to an international student. Are you one of those 99.9% of the Christians? Because we just miss the opportunities. We, our minds, we want to go to Vietnam, we want to go to India, or even go to Japan. But when they are here, we ignore them, we miss them. When I was young, that's like 50 years ago, The church was praying very hard for the door of China to be open for the gospel. I still remember I went to a lot of prayer meetings to pray for the door of China to be open. 50 years ago, we have to secretly bring Bible to China, secretly share the gospel. But now God answered our prayer, isn't it? He opened the door of China. Now the people from mainland China is scattered all over the world. No, there's a quarter of a million mainland Chinese people in our city, Vancouver here, a quarter of a million. Another quarter million from Hong Kong. Now they're all here, but now we're not interested. Because we are praying for that far away China. Why are they doing here? Wait, I want to go to the short-term mission trip to China. Let me witness to them in China, not here. We missed all these opportunities. Now they're here. God answered the church's prayers that we did 50 years ago. Now God opened the door. Then they're here. But we missed this opportunity. We ignored it. We did not see this opportunity. And reaching out to the international student is strategically it's great for the kingdom of God. Many of these students, I can name, think of a few. A princess from Japan was an international student. A prime minister from Israel, Ivory Coast, Jordan, Sweden, Turkey. A president from Ecuador, Ireland, Mexico, Taiwan, Nicaragua. Even the father of modern China, Republic of China, Dr. Sun Yat-sen, was an international student in Hawaii, and that's where he encountered Christianity and later got baptized. There's so much opportunities when we reach out to the 500,000 of international students in Canada. Before the pandemic, 2019, there were 630,000 international students studying in Canada. Most of them are in Toronto and Vancouver. Isn't that a great opportunity for us to reach out to all these people from all these nations, from the least reached group? Rather than we sending missionaries over there trying to learn their language, learn their culture, they're here. They're willing, they're really willing to step into a Christian church because they come to the West, they want to learn our culture. And Christianity is part of our heritage and culture here. And very interesting, 2 weeks ago I received this email from the office, from our head office, to pray for our new international worker who is going to be sent to Toronto. So that's kind of a bit strange. We're sending foreign international workers to Toronto. She will be starting a new ministry to reach out to the international students from China. Now, our head office now even classify reaching out to Chinese students is a foreign mission work. This is kind of inspiring for me. So we are actually planning to partner with another Christian organization to really get into the international student work, not just Chinese. We want to be able to reach out to all nations. So this is no longer a local mission now. It's actually a foreign mission work. So our head office now divide this international student ministry as a foreign mission work. God is good. There's so much opportunities. The field, the harvest is ready. It is still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. The field is ripe for harvest. And there's so much opportunities right around us, right at our doorstep, but we just miss it. Just like I miss my own car. When I keep staring at that look-alike caught in the parking lot there, I miss my car. And we just focus. We think that we have done our work now. We have sent our money. We have blessed those 230 IWs. Then we have done our mission work. But we missed these vast opportunities of mission right around us. The field is ready. And we pray that the Lord will send the workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Why they are only a few? Because we only focus on the 234 IW. And that only represents about 0.5% of all the members of the CNMA in Canada. We're only sending 0.5% into mission. The other 99% are doing something else. We need more workers. The church is going to start equipping everybody. We're going to get everybody to take the Kairos course. We're going to get everybody to take the Empower to Influence course. And we're going to get everybody to take this new course, which we just took, the pastor just took two weeks ago, Interface course. So we want to equip the whole church. We're going to create platforms. We're going to even put real resource like money, funding, into international student work, into local mission work. We'll continue to support foreign missions over there, but let us divert a lot more of our attention to the mission opportunity that's right outside our church door, that the 99% of us can actually participate rather than just praying. But above all, we want to make mission the focus of our ministries, like the circle or the pie on your left. Mission is at the center. We want to make our church a missional church, that the mission is the focus of our ministries. Mission is not just the responsibility of the mission department. We want to be able to reach to people of our own culture. But we also want to try, if the God is willing, it's not easy, I know, for us, but if God is willing, we also want to across our culture to reach to other cultural groups. And we're going to start doing that by venturing into international student ministries. So I hope all of you can, I'll be talking on this more, and I hope that you can all support our initiatives. But above all, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But above all, not only that, we need resources. We need resources. Now, to hire someone to do international student work, we need resources. We need funding. To send people overseas, we need funding. We need to equip ourselves. We're going to put everybody through equipping, training, so that we can all think alike. But what we need more is compassion, the love for people. Without that, all the mission work we do is just work. And we cannot last very long doing mission if we see it as our work. Same as ministry. Somebody will ask me, how come I don't get tired serving the Lord in ministries? You don't get tired if you have passion in what you're doing. But if you see it as work, you won't last very long. So this is my encouragement for especially pastors, leaders. If you feel that you're burned out, you're tired, you lost the interest in your ministry, probably because you lost the passion to people, not that much to the work. Because everything that we do here is dealing with people. If you lost the passion to people, then even evangelism, mission work, is just work for you. And it will be really hard. Let's pray to the Lord that we need this passion, like Jesus. When he saw the people, he had compassion on them. Then let us have compassion on the least rich, the people groups. All these immigrants, they're moving here that they need help, right? Your neighbors, right? When was the last time you cared about your neighbors? When was the last time you invited to a gospel meeting? When was the last time you invited to Alpha? The Alpha, we have very few people actually doing the invitation. We spend a lot of time in preparation. If you don't have the passion to invite your neighbors to come, don't expect that you will have this love for people when you go over there. I remember Dr. Jimmy Taylor, the speaker from last week, Hudson Taylor's great-grandson, he said that if you do not love the Japanese people, right next door to your house, do not wait until you become an IW missionary in Japan, then you will start loving the Japanese people. You start loving those people right here, right now. And let's ask God to give us a passion for the people. There are thousands of international students here. No one ever shared the gospel with them. We're all waiting for this short-term mission trip to somewhere, to Thailand, to Vietnam, to some third world country. Then we start love them, share the gospel. But they're right here. Don't need wait for this short-term mission to Taiwan. There are a lot of Taiwanese people here. Let's have passion for people. So right now, today, Hudson Taylor was the first missionary to China. He founded the Inland China Mission, later on today called the OMF. And he brought at least over 200 missionaries to China. And during the height of the persecution in China, when they start seeing the persecution and the challenge that they have to leave China, one of the missionaries, Frank Horton, wrote this hymn because he knew that they won't be able to finish the task in China. So he wrote this hymn, "Facing a Task Unfinished." That's the name of the song. I encourage you to go to and find this song on the internet. You can listen to it. "Facing a Task Unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebuilds our slothy ease. We who rejoice to know thee, we kneel before thy throne, the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. With none to heed their crying for life and love and light, unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. For us today, this is talking to you. Ours is the same commission, unified in Christ for the mission of God. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message, ours. Fired by the same ambitions, like Hudson Taylor. To you, we yield our powers. Let's pray. Father God, help all of us to have this fire burning in our hearts. Give us this passion for the lost souls. Give us this love so that we can love people. There are all these immigrants, refugees, international students, seamen, sailors, people are passing by our church front doors. Give us a heart to love them. Give us a vision to reach out to them. Give us a mission to work and bring the gospel to them. Wake up all of us. Let us not only focus on this faraway mission work, but don't miss all these great opportunities. Why at our church door? In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.